We're waiting for your TOs to empty their trailer, and I'm recording for the intro for the San Carlos Computer Club. Everybody say hi.
Hi.
And we are out camping. We found this marvelous campground.
We're leaving.
This is the end, my friend. This is the intro from August 3rd, 2021. We have been out tubing. What'd you think of tubing?
It was fun.
It was fun? Yeah. Had you ever had that kind of experience before?
Not really.
Chaos and rapids.
And really deep water, right?
Well, it came from deep to like not deep to deep. It was really weird.
So what was deep to you? Did you go in over your head?
The only time I went into the water is when I fell in, but I didn't fall in the deep areas. Like, I was able to stand up.
I lost my shoe. And I was
like, past my knee type of water.
And Emmy?
I lost my shoe.
Emmy had to do a big rescue of their shoe floated in front of them for how long? 10, 15 minutes?
Like, I think it's less
felt
than
like,
that.
Felt like hours. And it was just out of grasp. It was so dramatic.
I fell into the water and my whole bottom half was drenched and it was the coldest thing. I loved it.
I fell into the water 2 times.
What else did you think was awesome from camp? What's the name of this camp?
It's certainly something.
Tolsona?
Tolsona, yeah.
Tolsona.
Tolsona.
It was Tolsona something camp. Wilderness. Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Okay.
And that's Mina in the background.
Hello.
They had really good popsicles.
They had good popsicles?
Most of my time buying one.
They had good junk food in the office.
Because there was no junk food with us.
Well, until you bought us some. I still have my hot Cheetos in my backpack.
And there's a reason there was no junk food along with you girls. Do you remember what that reason was?
No.
Bring any. Yeah. Well, very good. I think we're going to start taking off. I guess we'll call this the end of the intro. We're about to take off. Here comes our convoy. This is Scott Stimson, your host. This is...
Viviana Stimson, the daughter.
And this is...
Emily Stimson, the favorite child.
And this is...
Grandma Stimson, favorite right at the moment, because we're leaving.
We got a car coming ahead of us.
Uh-oh, we gotta go.
Bye.
So until next Tuesday, tech on.
Tech on!
Tech on.
Tech on. Why? Why was I just given the phone?
You're given the phone to say tech on.
Yeah, I feel like panic left.
Saying yay or nay, they are very, very concerned about the vaccination rates and the, what do they call it, the Delta?
The new Delta, yeah.
Variant and the spreads. So, yeah, we'll see. But we're booked Vegas October 24th, so that's our first booking. So yeah, we plan on leaving Alberta about the 12th of October, so, and that's when we would cross into the States, so we'll see.
Yeah, I thought they were opening the border. Something about a strike up there, too.
Oh, that's the border crossing people. Is it Canadian border crossing or the Americans at the border? I'm not sure who it is, but it could be the Canadians.
The Canadians.
Yeah. The Canadian border crossing security. That's who it is. Yeah. They have been in negotiations and doing all these at-risk things and being asked to do more, like all of our health authorities and everybody, and not getting compensated for it. So the unions are... Yeah.
Well, that's no fun.
No. So we're still in a we'll see, but just today we made reservations. We're going camping in British Columbia. The forest fires and everything, we thought maybe we weren't going to be able to go, but we are going to go just as far as Kimberley, Cranbrook, Kimberley, just north of Washington. Anyways, we're going to a birthday party, so.
Uh-huh.
Granddaughter's birthday.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. At first, it was going to be backcountry camping, but we realized that with the motorhome and everything, we need a little more glamping so we can have air conditioning and everything. You know, we're not sure about the generator on the motorhome, so we're now staying at a... casino golf course with dining and all. So much for backcountry.
You're going to suffer.
Yes,
rough it.
You know, don't even have to feed the shower with loonies. You know, it'll be included. Swim in the swimming pool instead of the lake.
Yeah.
Okay. The cement pond.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Where is everybody this morning?
Billy's in the kitchen. I know it's Linda Cunningham's birthday, so maybe Jim's busy with her. I don't know.
And Scott's out having coffee.
So, yeah, guess who joined us?
Still getting a little organized here.
Oh, I like your suspenders.
And suspend up.
Well, my calendar just went off. People should be here. Good morning. Oh, there's Paul.
Billy, is your mic on?
Uh-huh.
Billy, you look like you're driving the train. Did he hear me? Is he there?
You look like you should be in Marrakesh.
Who
yeah,
says I'm not?
Outdid herself.
And Paul looks spaced out again.
Yeah.
Is that another new beanie that your mom made?
Actually, yes, but she made it 2 years ago, and I stored it here in Alaska and just dug it out the other day. What do you think?
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I like it.
I was looking at it going, boy, I should have took this to Mexico with me.
Yeah.
I think it's going home with me.
There you go. So San Carlos earthquakes, Alaska earthquakes, and you're missing both of them?
Yeah, it's funny. The reaction of my Facebook friends for the Alaskan earthquake, everybody was checking in with us. And I'm like, guys, you got to know. It's like we're on the other side of the planet that's so far away. They probably had a better chance of feeling it over in Russia. Well, that's not true. But still, we are so far away from the epicenter of that Alaskan earthquake, no matter how big it was. It didn't even affect Anchorage at all. There wasn't a shimmer. And we went down and visited Sid, where he's doing work, and he said that his place was rolling.
Oh.
Because he's like a four-hour drive away from us. And down there, he felt the earthquakes. And they had tsunami warnings all over the area, but there was no tsunami, so there's no action after that.
He's down in Homer?
Yeah, well, he's in Anchor Point specifically, but all that area is right along the Kenai Coast.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if James and Carolyn are going to be on today. They're out on the island, and interesting to hear if they felt anything.
Yeah. Well, and then in Mexico, they're all talking about those earthquakes. And I talked to Yuya, and she's like, no, I didn't feel either one of them. She was out. She's out watering the plants with her mom for the first one, and our neighbors came running out of the house going, do you feel that? They're like, no. What happened? And then I talked to her about the second one, and she didn't hear it either, or she didn't feel it either.
I was raised in San Francisco, so I felt quite a few of them.
You're just working fine?
What, you're having a problem?
Yeah, I was cutting in and out.
Oh.
I might reboot.
Might be Wi-Fi interference.
Well, I'm usually the one that has the Wi-Fi interference, and he's usually fine. And he's going to check his.
One time I was on the bus, and the bus was stopped at a red light, and then it started bouncing up and down, bong, 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 in place. And I looked out, and all the wires were swaying, so I knew what was wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, you looked out and saw everything was bouncing up and down.
My younger sister got married. I'm trying to think what year that was. But anyway, they went to San Francisco for their honeymoon. And, you know, of course, the joke in the family is that the earth moved for her. So, the marriage didn't last, but the honeymoon was probably fun.
It was ground shaking.
I don't have my coffee. I better go find it.
Go get your coffee.
We're
still 10 minutes away from an official start. And Paul, what I've done is I've created another meet. It's right here. I'm going to pass you the link to it. I have gotten no warning this morning that we're going to get shut down, but I don't trust Google. So
okay, didn't get an email today, so I looked in my history and found an email on the 27th where you say that you've got new numbers for us, and so that's what I clicked on.
I don't know.
So what did other people do last week that I didn't do that I couldn't connect?
Well, you know, we were completely unprepared. In fact, you should right now open up the chat and click on the link that I just sent to the chat as a separate tab, and it'll sit right beside the meet we're in. And if we get disconnected from this meet, we'll just switch over to this other tab and hit join now, and we'll restart. And that's really what we didn't do last week, is we just didn't have a plan. And so when we did get disconnected, a few of us ended up in Skype, and I shared a new link number there in Skype. And I also, out of desperality, I sent the new link through email. And so, but I think it was just Bill, Cheryl, and my mom and myself that caught up after the meeting. I think a lot of people just either couldn't figure out how to get reconnected, or they just decided we were, you know, three quarters of the way through. Maybe this is a good time to quit.
Yeah, well, I didn't have Skype on my computer, so I loaded it, and it still didn't help me. I guess I should have gone back to your email and clicked on the Skype link, huh?
Yeah, the Skype link takes us to a discussion group that we used at the beginning of COVID that I've kept active. I haven't done anything to try and prevent it from still existing, and that's where I ended up going and sharing this link. Hey, Dave, good to see you. We were just talking about what to do if we get disconnected, and I've just shared with you in the chat. I've actually shared it about three or four times now, but whenever somebody connects, they only get the first messages after they've connected. So I've just shared it again. And if you click on that, you can open up a separate tab for another meet. And don't join it, but just let it sit over there. And that way, if we get disconnected from this meet, we can just switch tabs and we'll start another meet. I'm assuming Dave can hear me. He's got his mic off right now.
Yeah, I have my mic off, that's for sure.
Okay.
Okay.
You're following what I'm... You're picking up what I'm laying down?
Just doing other things at the same time.
Okay, cool. And we'll share that again while we're rolling, or as people join us. I have not gotten a disconnect message yet. I started this meet almost 20 minutes ago, and it did not give me a warning like it did last week that they were going to disconnect us in an hour. So I don't know what that means. But Google Meet is not saying anything about you're going to get disconnected. But maybe they won't warn me anymore. Maybe they'll just start to disconnect. There's a timer that starts to spin at the bottom of the bar or at the bottom of the screen when it starts to disconnect. So hopefully we'll all get an indicator if that's what's going to happen. Do I need more coffee before I start? I think I need a little bit more coffee before I start.
Well, I went for coffee, but somehow a piece of fresh sourdough bread with peanut butter ended up in my hand.
Okay, I'm going to disappear for just a moment, but I'll be right back.
And Bill is rebooting his machine, so he'll be in as soon as it reboots. Well, did you go on your trip? You were supposed to be going on a cruise or something.
Oh, that's going to be next January.
Oh, not till January.
To Hawaii.
Nice.
We've had that cruise several times. It's a 15-day cruise, mm-hmm. and they're not doing 15-dayers yet. That's why it's kind of in the lurch.
Yeah.
But so it's 5 days over to Hawaii, 5 days around the islands, and 5 days back. Last year, we were scheduled to go on a cruise that left our hometown of San Pedro, went to Hawaii, and then continued to Tahiti and Samoa and all like that. But COVID hit because it was an April cruise.
Right.
That was the end of that.
Have you ever been that one across the ocean?
No.
No. I have a girlfriend who, her and her friend used to do bicycle trips all the time. You know, they would go to different parts of Europe and they would go on these bike trails. And the one year, they were going to go over to Australia. Her and her husband were cruising Australia, New Zealand, and, you know, in the South Pacific. But before that, her and her girlfriend got on a cruise ship that was doing the cross passage. So they went across and they pedaled in the gym up on the deck. So they pedaled across the ocean to get to. So they did their bicycle trip, but they did it on stationary bikes on the cruise ship. So,
well, that's great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Well, if you ever decide to go to Tahiti, I highly recommend going, spending some time on the island of Raiatea. It used to be all the islands had a very different culture, even though you take a little 14-foot outboard and go between some of them, like Raiatea and Bora Bora is actually pretty close. Bora Bora is very nice, but very expensive. Raiatea was more laid back. Huaheine, which is the next island closer in, is kind of a rebel island, I would say, hostile almost in how they treat people.
It's great.
You know, the nearby islands, Moorea, is just a big tourist spot, but it's a lot of fun. Papeete is just a, you know, the commercial site, all that stuff. But I would definitely spend time on land more so than doing a cruise ship around it.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. And American Samoa was really nice, too. However, I don't think that's a spot that's been as humid as that.
As far as being hostile, it's because it's a French culture.
Well, what's interesting, like, if you drive around Papeete, what looks like three mailboxes, all the spots. One of them is your box for delivery of baguettes daily.
Oh.
Where is this?
Papeete in Tahiti, the islands.
Do you have a milk box as well?
Yeah, you have like I forgot what the third one was. One was mail, one was the baguette, and I'm not sure what the third one was.
Newspaper.
Oh, yeah, maybe newspaper or mail. Hey, Chester.
That probably was newspaper. Yeah.
Did everybody tell you what's going down if we get disconnected?
No.
I'm going to add a link to our chat that you should click on, and it will open up a separate tab. And that'll be our alternative meeting. And so if we get disconnected from this meeting, we'll just flip over to this other tab and we'll hit join now and we'll start that meeting.
Did you see at the top it says that they are deleted when the call ends?
What are you talking about?
Okay, at the top it says messages can only be seen by people in the call and are deleted when the call ends.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I put mine in a copy so that when they disappear,
Paul,
I'll be able to use it.
Yeah, if you click on it now, it'll open up the tab, so you'll already have the tab ready to go. But you're right. We're going to lose if you're looking at my screen, you can see that I have a number of links in there.
And yeah, I have three.
You have three. I have six. Chester's probably got one because he just joined the meeting and all he can see, like Judy's just joining the meeting and she can't see any of them if she goes to the chat because she wasn't here when I shared the other link. Judy, you're muted.
I'm not sure that Bill got his either, but so like you say, I've got across the top on my Google Chrome, I've got the other meeting is already open and it's called Meet USG MSKM whatever. So I'll just flip over to it when this one disappears.
That's right. And I'll put this in the chat again so Judy can pick it up because she just got here. And if while we're having the meeting, somebody joins us and I forget to add it again for that new person, if somebody else is so inclined, please add it to the chat. Judy, you can find the next...
I've got it.
Okay, and if you click on it, right now, it'll open that other tab and it'll just be sitting right beside the other meeting. And if we get disconnected, we'll switch over to that other tab and just hit the join now button.
Got it.
And this is the plan for right now. Until we have a better plan. Oh,
it won't be timing down like this one.
Say that again, Paul.
It won't be timing down.
It will be, but I don't plan on. I don't think we plan on talking to each other for another hour after that.
Oh, okay. I do.
Well, Paul, then you'll have to start another meet.
This is my obligation for the day, so.
That's nice. Well, here we are. It's on time. We've got a nice group of folks here. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson, your host from International Computer Solutions, broadcasting you from Anchorage, Alaska. And at the moment, I'm sitting in one of our bed and breakfast rooms because I didn't feel like picking up all my equipment and moving it somewhere else. This is a room we call the Russian Room, and I don't know if you can make out behind me, but we have lots of paraphernalia from Russia, from my parents' travels. And in fact, if you've never heard the story, the bed and breakfast started out as a hobby of my mom's, when she retired, and she decorated each one of the rooms with paraphernalia that came from the different travels that our family and her and my father have done throughout the year. So when we were at the height of the travel inn, we had a Russian room, an Asian room, a Norwegian room, a Mexican room. We still have an Australian room, and I'm sitting in the Russian room.
What about your neighbors, Canada? Don't we count?
Are you a country? Yeah, you do count. Hey, there's my dad. Morning, Pop. So we were talking about what Dad doesn't know is that we got disconnected because the Google Meets have decided to time out after an hour. And you're muted, Dad. I hope you can hear me. But what we've done is
I can hear you now.
Oh, great. So what we've done is we've already set up the next meet. So if you go down to the bottom of your meet and find that chat with everyone and click on that, it'll open up in call messages, and then I am sending a link, and you should have a link, and if you click on it, it'll open up a separate tab with our new meet. And if we get disconnected from this meet, we're going to switch to that other tab and we're going to start up again, or you're not going to come back. And again, last week, Google informed me in an hour, we're going to disconnect your meeting. And what we discovered last week was we can't just get back into the same meet. It does not allow us to. It disconnects us and it punishes us for not paying for their meet services by not allowing us to use the same meet code within a period of time. You've probably noticed, though, it let us use the same meet code today, just not 30 seconds after they closed the meet last week. So that's why we're ready for another meet. So I hope folks brought some topics. I've got a couple with us. I have been maintaining a topic list. And just some follow-up. Judy, I've had this on for a couple of weeks now. Have you ever set up your Simply Safe package? Are you still with us? You go for coffee?
I am. I did it on, hold on one second. I did it on Sunday. So in the time since I've had this thing, my 99-year-old mother-in-law died. So that kind of put everything I know it's expected, but anyway. So I finally got it set up pretty much Sunday. So I wasn't getting text messages about events, you know, like if the door was open and not shut, and I was only able to get push messages. So my big complaint about SimpliSafe is that their customer service on the weekends knew absolutely nothing. My question to them was, how do I set up text messaging to get notification of alerts at my house? Rather than telling me you can't unless you have a paid monitoring subscription, this woman started through everything. She had me take the base station apart with a little tiny screwdriver, take the batteries out. Long to short, it screwed up the whole system and it never would register because she told me I didn't need to put the screw back in while we were doing the testing. Well, the screw is an integral part of the system, and the system will not work without that screw. I found that all out later.
Wow.
So anyway, their customer support wasn't very good. I was on hold for like 45 minutes Sunday afternoon late, like at 4 my time. And I was on with the woman for over an hour who then hung up on me. When I told her I thought that I'd have a 6-month free monitoring system for all the hassle and her screwing up my system.
And so... She accidentally disconnected you.
Accidentally. So on Monday morning, I called back and I said, I certainly hope that you can go back and look. I'm not big on causing people to lose their jobs, but in this case, it really ticked me. So hopefully this person gets more training rather than losing her job.
It sure sounds like that's the case. It just wasn't trained. Because it seems like that would be one of the first questions as well. Have you purchased our service?
And that's only available for people that have our service for $14.95 a month or whatever.
You know, I'm finding that this is a more and more common problem. The help that we're asking for is assuming that we're much more sophisticated. Like, haven't you already gone through steps 1 through 8?
Yes.
Right? And they should be trained on qualifying their customer better.
But now I know how to take my base station apart, my keypad apart, and remove the batteries and replace them and do the reset. And then she says to me, this woman goes on Sunday night, well, I just don't know what's wrong. I can't see any of your equipment. So yesterday when I was talking to a knowledgeable person, she said, well, we only see a very limited portion of your equipment when you don't have our monitoring system.
Yeah, and all that makes sense with somebody that knows what they're talking about. That makes perfect sense.
So anyway, so far I'm just trying to figure out, you know, I know how to do it when I'm gone. It did not go off with the dog in the house, so I thought that was a good thing. And
as long as he's not robbing you, right?
Right. Well, and normally he just sleeps, so
the,
you know, it's
the dog's walking around the house with all the valuables.
And the hardest part was installing the camera in a location that I could see most of the main part of the house.
Wait, does this mean I can break into your house in a dog suit?
Maybe. As long as you crawl around his height on the floor.
With a steak with a bone in it would be the best thing.
Yeah, right.
Well, Paul was beyond.
Well, I worked for the state, so I learned that if I was going to hang up on somebody, I'd do it in mid-sentence.
Yeah. It was pretty annoying. But I finally got everything about 7 o'clock Sunday night or 8 o'clock. I finally got everything working again, and everything was fun.
Well, that's awesome. But you are very aware of a missing feature set because you're not in the subscription model that they're selling.
Exactly. And don't ask for a free 6 months or they'll disconnect.
Well, you're reminding me that we just recently, you know, I'm here because my buddy bought a house right next door to my parents' place. And you're reminding me that we have reason to be looking for archive footage. He had an experience where he thinks somebody got into the house. He had left the door unlocked. I haven't even shared this with my folks yet, but he'd left the door unlocked the other evening. And when they woke up, his girlfriend's purse was missing. And he's thinking that somebody got in the house, saw the purse, grabbed it, and ran out of the house. We were trying to figure out how to identify or locate, and it occurred to me that a Ring doorbell in the past has been in that neighborhood because we have a Ring at the bed and breakfast. And at the same time, I'm like, oh, wait, we've got a Ring at the bed and breakfast. However, we're not paying for the service.
Uh-huh.
And so we don't have any archive footage to go through.
Right.
Right.
You can see, I don't know how long it stays, but I can actually watch what's going on, but I think it's not going to stay for long. I was trying to see what this is saying right now.
Yeah, I know with Ring, they gave us a few months for free so we could see what we're missing if we didn't pay for the subscription service. And it was very cool. They would keep things up in the cloud for an extended period of time, and we could go back and access that video. Ring created, and this is a few years ago, but they created that neighborhood application, which is kind of like a social network for security system. So if you've got a webcam or a camera doorbell, you can share the activities that it captured with the rest of your neighborhood. And then the neighborhood app, if you guys haven't seen it, you actually dial it in around a radius of where you're located. So maybe you want to see all the footage from 10 miles away or 5 miles away, and all the cameras that have been shared into the network, you're able to see, kind of like a Twitter feed of security video. All that's become very commonplace. At the time we set it up originally, it was just really new. But now that's just the features of Ring. It also makes you consider when you're buying this stuff, where do you think are you gonna buy into the subscription model? There's some real decent stuff happening out of the cloud where you don't have to be responsible for maintaining the equipment. Because that's really your option. If you're going to do a security in your house and you're trying to avoid a subscription model, then you're definitely going to have your own on-site storage for those videos if you want to go back and review them later. You're also going to have to figure out a way to bring all your Internet of Things devices into that security model you're creating.
So I'm wondering if I can somehow from it, because it's on their app, if I can like do a screenshot of who might be breaking into my house.
I believe you can. The issue I think you'd find with Ring, we would have to do it at the moment. Like we would have to be notified that there's somebody at the door. We'd have to go and look at the, like through a device, through your phone or through a computer. And then at that same moment, we would have to screen capture what we're seeing. And so I guess if you got yourself in the habit of doing that, mm-hmm. like if you had all those tools in place, but you know what I'm imagining we would all do? Is we would forget how to do that.
Right.
Until the moment that you need it. And you would be like, oh my gosh, how did I do that? And the perpetrator would be there and gone so quickly that I think most of us would miss the opportunity.
One thing that I learned about iPhone, the X, the 10, was I can double tap on the back of it and it takes a screenshot immediately.
Oh, that's cool. So
yeah, well, yes and no, because you don't know how often you kind of double tap when you aren't realizing you're double tapping. So, but anyway.
Yeah, that might get a little embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's
the,
something.
Double tapping the phone as you're pulling your drawers up in the bathroom by accident.
But, oh, and then another, can I say one more iPhone?
Wait, to continue with that thought, yes. Then it goes into your iCloud photo stream and it's shared with your family.
No. But one
okay,
more
go ahead,
thing.
Go ahead.
This is a security issue. So I got a phone call from my brother-in-law and it went to my voicemail. He's also has an iPhone, so it goes to my voicemail and it was a butt dial call, but I have his entire conversation with this person he was talking to in his yard on my voicemail.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I told him it's a good thing you weren't meeting with your girlfriend or something because I would really have evidence.
That's right. Well, I got to say, I've done that myself before. I've looked down at my phone and discovered that somehow I've gotten engaged in a phone call. And it's been rolling for minutes. And either I'm talking to a voicemail or somebody's line is open just listening to me because I've inadvertently started up a call.
So I thought that was, I didn't quite realize that that was happening. But when I called him, he said, no, I didn't call you. And I said, well, let me tell you what you said. And so I just read him the conversation and he went, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So very interesting.
The good old butt dial security breach.
Uh-huh. Exactly. That could be our next political agenda.
Well, so that's a great update. Hey, I'm curious, the base station that you took apart, is it within your view? Can we look at it? Okay, there's a picture of it. So that actually has a screw in it that it'll
bury them.
And if you take it out, it ceases to function.
Well, it functions, but it functions as it's on battery. It doesn't realize that it's plugged into power.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then you can unscrew it farther. So that's one click and the bottom comes off where the batteries are. You can unscrew it a little bit more and you get all the boards, all the little, you know, the little boards with all the little weld things on them, you know.
The circuit board.
Yes, circuit boards. There's a couple, so.
Oh, well, yeah that's very interesting.
It was very interesting.
That's how you don't get shocked by 110. You only get shocked by 12 volts or something like that.
Well, and then she told me to use a Phillips head screwdriver, but it really was a little teeny tiny straight slot. So I was asking the knowledgeable person, I said, okay, what is this for? And she goes, well, this is so if somebody breaks in, they won't be able to easily dismantle your base station.
Really?
Mm.
Okay.
I could think of easier ways of dismantling it, you know, like smashing it on the floor and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, it seems odd that you would. So this is to keep the power plug in. That's what I'm imagining.
No, because it looks like it feels like it's plugged in. It's like a USB cable to an outlet, you know, for power, like on a computer or something.
You know, the answer that they've given you sure doesn't sound well thought out.
No, it doesn't. But anyway, well,
I'm still learning, so we'll see. I have a little fob that I can arm it from, like, outside. I have yet to be able to disarm it from outside. I still have to come in and put my code in, so.
So you do have a numeric pad that you have to press a code in.
I do.
And this is the Simply Safe. I think I've got it. Simply Safe. You got it at Sam's Club. 10-piece. Do it yourself. I'm just bringing it up right here.
228 or something with tax. There's the keypad.
And the window and door sensors.
Yeah. Panic button, window and door sensors. I got 4 window door sensors, a panic button that just sounds a really loud alarm. And what else did I get? I got something else with it.
Webcam, motion sensor.
Yes.
I see a picture here of motion sensors.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, didn't mean to do that. Okay, zoom in. Yeah, so that looks like a corner motion sensor.
Right, and they all come with little sticky pads, so you just stick it to the wall, but make sure you have it exactly where you want it, because they do stick.
Well, I imagine these devices must have a battery that needs to be charged. How do you go about doing that?
They're supposed to last for years.
Really?
Yeah, I read this somewhere. Let's see. It was maybe on the frequently asked questions on the website. But like 5 years or something.
This is interesting. What is this? Is that your fob?
Yes, that's my little key fob kind of thing. And it's small. It's too big to put in your pocket, I think.
Oh, so it's not like on your keychain like for your car?
Well, it could be. But since I carry my keys in my pocket, it's not very handy.
Oh, wow. That is bigger than I would expect it to be.
So there's my hand, and there it is.
What are you holding it by? Is that a USB? Connector?
No, it's a little thing that you would slip your key ring thing through.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's a belt or a band.
Yeah, like a little thing.
Gotcha.
And then it's got alarm or off, home, and away. Those are my 3 options.
Well, that's good to know. This looks cool. We look forward to hearing more experiences from it.
Want to hear about batteries real quick?
Sure.
Voice prompts will warn you when your batteries are low. Battery life is approximately 1 year for the keypad and 5 years for all the other sensors. To change the batteries, remove the component from the wall, blah, 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 blah.
And wow, 5 years is a long time.
The base station backup battery is rechargeable and does not normally need to be replaced.
That's very cool. Hey, the base station, does it have any, when we look at the pictures, it really looks like an Echo device of some sort.
Hold on, I'll go walk in there real quick. I just moved it because the blue light when it's on is really annoying in the night.
Well, I was just going to ask if it had any other features. Like, can you talk to it?
No. Well, I hope not. Can you hear it?
I hear it talking to you.
Yeah, hold on. Where am I? I need to turn my camera around. It's beeping at me. So can you see it?
Not yet. It's now we can't see anything. We lost.
Hold on, I'm back.
We can see you.
Camera.
Oh, okay. Great.
So can you see it?
I see a chair and a table.
Wrong way. That's behind me.
I see a box.
And that's my box of stuff. Okay. Now can you see it?
Oh, just the head of it. Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, we can see it. So
Simply Safe on. Home.
So there is no feature for you to interact with it. Even though it's talking to you, you can't talk to it.
I can only with my keypad, and I can turn it off and on. It'll tell me here.
I'm just trying to figure out what's the advantage of having that sitting in the corner of your living room other than it looks cool. I mean, I guess it is talking to you, so you'd probably want to be able to hear it. But it seems like, wouldn't it be as functional in the closet out of the way?
Well, it says to locate it in a central location. So I didn't know what that means. So I just moved it out of the living room into the kitchen.
Oh, but yeah. Since it is a hub, that makes sense. I don't know why I wasn't thinking about it like that. But since it's a hub, it's probably using its own proprietary Wi-Fi. It's probably using Zigway, that low-powered Wi-Fi network technology.
I just had to get access to my Wi-Fi network.
Wait, it's probably the base station's probably connected to your Wi-Fi, but I bet the sensors are not. I bet the
the sensors are definitely connected to that
base station.
It almost looks like my CenturyLink modem, the new modem that I have, that looks similar to that.
Well, I imagine that's the reason it needs to be central to your house, is because everything has to Wi-Fi to it, and then it Wi-Fi's your internet connection.
So I'm checking to see if it'll work in the kitchen, and then that way I maybe won't see the light all night long.
Yeah. Well, very anyway, cool.
That's that story. I also installed a new printer on Sunday. I got really annoyed with my old Epson. I've been annoyed with it for years. So I had gotten a new printer when I was up in Nogales getting my COVID vaccine. So I finally got around to installing that too.
What printer did you get?
It's a TR or something. Canon.
It's Canon?
Mm-hmm.
And was it as easy as plugging it in and... And you use Mac technology, so it should just find it, right?
It did just fine. And the only hard part was I set it up first on my laptop, then on my iPad. And then when I went to set it up to print from my iPhone, that was a little more difficult because I had to get codes and stuff. But it was very easy.
That's great to hear. If you should share that model with us so that we can add it to the notes if anyone's looking for a new printer.
It's a TR something. I've got to go and look it up. I will.
I'm going to make a note in our notes. Canon TR something. Judy's new printer. You got it at a Walmart, right?
I did. It's a Pixma, and it's a TR4522.
4522. Did you do any research before you got it, or you just looked at the printers at Walmart and picked one?
I just went because I could not find a cheaper printer, and it was like $60 or something then. I couldn't find any cheap printers. They were all over $100. And for me, and it makes pretty nice photo prints, so.
Yeah. Yeah, printers have become quite commodities now, haven't they?
Yes.
Yes, but they get you by the ink costs. If you have, you know, some of the printers like a Brother, and I think it's an Epson, like our Brother is guaranteed to have a 2-year ink supply under normal usage, and it's been more than that for us.
David, is that with the cartridge when you replace the cartridge?
Right. The cartridges are really expensive on most things, and there's a couple types of inkjets. One is where you can buy just the ink itself, and basically it's designed to be refillable by the user. Ours just has basically larger cartridges that are designed to last for quite a while. And the printer cost included the couple years of cartridges.
Oh, really?
So it was like $200, but you'll spend that with a normal printer if you're doing that type of printing, you know, easily, particularly if you use a lot of color.
Sure. Oh, hey, look at this. I just got an announcement. Our call is going to end in 5 minutes.
Yeah. There's a good write-up in Consumers Reports on the cost of inkjet printers, including the cost of the ink.
Hey, Dave, I don't mean to interrupt you, but does everybody now has the new link that we're going to switch over to?
I don't. I'm sorry, but I can't find it.
So, Chester, if you look at the bottom of the Meet screen, or if you follow along on my screen, down at the bottom. Oh, wait, that's not a good example. Good example. Okay, ignore this. If you follow along at the bottom of the screen, there's one over on the right that says chat with everyone. If you click on chat with everyone, it opens up the in-call messages, and there should be at least one link. There might be a couple since you've gotten on, because I've been sharing it. Each time somebody gets online, they only get to see the last thing that was shared after they got on.
I see five.
Okay, they should all be the same thing, and if you click on it, it will open up the next Meet window we'll use.
Should I click on it now?
Sure, yeah. It should open up a separate tab. If you're still following along on my screen, you'll see I have a Meet that we're in right here. And I've got the next Meet as a tab next to it. And I'm just going to switch over, and I'm going to hit the Join Now button when this disconnects, or whenever we decide that we're going to switch over to the other Meet. We'll drain this to the last 5 minutes, and we'll switch over. Hey, Mom, I just got a text from Justin saying that the painters are there, and you're muted, so nobody can hear you. Still muted.
Mute button's down the bottom.
Okay, well, if you had commentary, we did not catch it because you're muted. Down at the bottom, there should be a microphone button. Okay. All right. Well, maybe when we switch to the other meet, you'll have the ability to do microphone again.
So, Scott, even though I had clicked on that and it was sitting there waiting, I don't see it anymore.
You don't see the...
The new meet. Uh-uh.
Yeah, it's in another tab across the top. You should see another tab open.
No, but maybe I will.
Click on the last link I shared just so there's no confusion. I mean, it should be the exact same thing a number of different times. Yeah. And it should open up a separate tab.
Right.
And you should be ready to hit join now or wait to join.
Okay, so if I click going back, I don't get that. Okay, so...
Scott, while we're doing that, I have a question for you. The live meeting document that you sent out, I added two things to it. When I open that document, I see what I added. Do you?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, here's a copy of I mean, if you're following me on my screen.
Yeah, I see it now. Yeah. I didn't know if it was going out or if it was just saving to my own computer. So there you go.
Yep. Yeah. No, this is a communal document. You could come in here and erase everything if you wanted to. So what else do we have here? Bill and Cheryl, you guys did add something about your new iPad.
Oh, this call is about to end.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, this call is about to end.
We're switching.
Okay, I will meet you in the other meet. It is on now. Multiple people want to join it. You all. Oh, I guess I'll let you all in. There we go.
Hey, hey.
Hey, that was a lot less painful than last week. Everyone's here.
So what iPad did you get, Cheryl?
Please.
You're muted.
Yeah, I'm muted. Sorry, I'm open. Okay, it's a 12th generation iPad, whatever inch.
That's important. Whatever inch is it?
Eighth generation.
I don't know.
Get the box. I think it's 11 inch or 9.7 inch. Is that right?
9.7 or 12 or something. That's
what. We had this in 4 days and didn't open the box.
I think the eighth generation, doesn't it still have a bezel and a button at the bottom? I think that's
I'm sorry.
Okay, Bill is very embarrassed for me to tell you guys this, but we've owned this since Friday, and it's now Tuesday, and I'm just opening the box. 128 gigabyte iPad, eighth generation Wi-Fi.
I think this is what I've got on the screen right here. It's got the A12 Bionic chip.
Yeah, was the 12.
And this is a 10.2-inch screen. And it still has, the one you got has this bezel around it, right? With a home button at the bottom.
Yep.
So
it looks very much like my old one. I found it kind of interesting. Like, I thought there'd be a little book or something with it. So I open up this box, and I don't know if you can see it there, but it's, you know, half a centimeter deep, and it's got a little tab. So I open up the tab, and I pull out, a couple of Apple stickers for me to put somewhere, you know, these little sticker things, and a couple of pieces in French. And one page with quick little pictures and what does what. And the rest is just like padding, stuffing. There's nothing in here. It's just something
packaging.
That fits in the box. Like, what a friggin' waste of a tree. Anyways, that's my first impression of the new iPad. But my question has to do with this, guys. Bill has an iCloud account, an Apple ID, so I get the term right, and it has an at iCloud email. And then I have my original iPad that has a Gmail address as the Apple ID. Then we each have iPhones that have different at iCloud emails, Apple IDs, and then everything is supposed to be together in a family plan for storage and purchases and everything. Do we create a new Apple ID for this device? Okay, thank you, Judy. I knew you would answer the question.
You're going to copy something, one of the iPads you're going to copy to the new one, correct?
What do you mean by copy?
That's what they told me would happen. You're going to get your new iPad in the mail. You're going to open it up and it's going to say, do you want to use your iPad Pro for this iPad? This is how they told me it would work.
Okay. At the same time we purchased this at Costco, we also purchased an Apple Care. Mm-hmm. First time we've ever done that. So the Apple Care came in an email, mm-hmm. which I'm trying to find, but I have not found it just yet.
You can call Apple Care and they can walk through all that too.
You know, that's a very good point, Cheryl. Is any of these questions, because you have Apple Care, you can call them and they'll talk you through all of this.
Yes.
Okay, but okay, so do I phone Apple Care or this, because it came from Costco, it says
Don't call Costco.
Okay. I have Costco concierge services to help me with my setup of my new technology. New technology support.
But I would call Apple Care personally. That's what you paid for.
Well, and Costco, Dad just had this experience. The Costco guy walked him through deleting everything in his computer.
Oh.
So I would call Apple because you have Apple Care and because they should know exactly what they're talking about.
Okay, the Apple Care proof of coverage. All it says is, dear customer, your Apple Care proof of coverage document is attached. Apple support resources. We're here to help. Visit Apple support. So I haven't registered anything
for you. There should be a phone number there.
Yeah, if you want to deal with them on the phone, and they will also talk you through how to verify you have Apple Care. And they're also really good about using Apple Care on all of your Apple devices. Like Apple Care is now like a product you buy, and they'll just apply it to whatever device you're asking for help with.
Okay. So it's applecanada.inc.
Oh, well, now I don't know what you're going to do. Jeez, well, those Canadians. I don't know if you're going to find any help.
So it's given me an agreement number and a device ID, the product description, and the coverage end date. So I guess I do have that.
Yeah, they would ask you for any of those for as identifiers. What's that, Bill?
Well, Apple Care Canada won't be able to help us, but they'll be sorry.
They'll be sorry, eh? Let's see. You can set up this device with either a new account or your old account. You can set up this new device as a replacement device or as an additional device with either a new account or an old account. So there's you don't need to create a new account unless you have a need for a new account. And you can choose as you're setting it up whether this is replacing the old iPad. And what that really would mean is, do I want all the same apps and installed in it? Do I want all the same settings to go into it? And you contrast that with, no, this is a secondary device. I want to keep the old device, but I'm setting this up fresh, like a brand new device.
My God, Paul's brain is exploding.
Yeah, right. Well, so Cheryl's, okay, so don't give me a lot of choices. Tell me the pros and cons. Okay, so if I set this up as a new device on a new, I start from fresh, there'll be no settings, there'll be no apps or anything on it.
Yep.
If I set it up as a replacement device, anything that I have on that device that I'm...
It will help you migrate over to it. It'll have a list of the applications that you've used in the past on your other device, and it will help you to install those apps, and hopefully all the passwords are there as well. So the idea is that you're setting down the old device and picking up the new device in its place. Oh, and Judy just put in the chat the Apple Care phone number.
Probably the U.S. one. But anyway, thank you, Judy.
That's all right. Call the U.S. number.
I suspect it's the same number in Canada, too.
It might be, yeah. So if I bring all of my apps from this iPad has been full, so the storage has been maxed out. It has all my Google Photos on it, and Google keeps telling me that I need to delete and do things.
Wait, that's your Google space, though, right?
Yeah, but I'm kind of thinking I should start new with this one.
Well, again, it's new. Well, a replay. It's kind of a concept more.
more than anything else, because it's not like they're restoring your backup. Well, actually, it is like they're restoring their backup, but the applications are not in the backup. They're in the App Store. And so what you're really doing is you're telling it to download the same list of applications to set them up.
Okay, so it's the apps list and their passwords and things like that.
That's right. That's really what you're doing when you're migrating to the device, is you're basically saying, put all the same applications on this device and have them set up the same way as the old device.
Can I do that from an iPhone to an iPad?
I believe you can. I don't live in the Apple world, but I believe you can look at your iPhone and use that as a model for your new device. I think it actually gives you that option when you're setting it up.
They told me that it, once you go on to your new device for the first time, it'll ask you the questions.
It'll use language like, do you want to migrate over from another device? And that's a little, I mean, even if it uses that exact language, which I have seen before, your migration is not a movement, it's a copy. So regardless of what you choose to do, your old device is left intact.
So it's a copy, not a migrate.
Yeah, well they use the language migrate, but you're not moving. You are copying. Your old device is left exactly intact the way it was original. It's just using that as a model for setting up the new device.
Okay, and when we talk about Apple ID, the pros and cons of creating a new one as opposed to using one that already exists.
Well, my cons would be, how many do you already have?
That's a good con.
Too many for me to remember everything.
Exactly. So I don't know. It just seems like you should have, for me, you should have one ID for you, one for Bill, and that should be your Apple IDs.
I think unless you're doing something strange, like you're administrating equipment for a school or a corporation, the question of, do you need a new Apple ID, is really down to your personal use. And so what Judy says makes a lot of sense, is your Apple ID is like your persona with Apple. Your Cheryl is coming over to a new Apple device. That's what we're saying. And when you get into a new Apple ID, you're losing access to the things your old Apple ID had access to. Maybe you've made purchases. Maybe you're part of a family group. A good example is that storage space that you guys have gotten with Apple's cloud, is that 2 terabytes. If you set up a new Apple ID, you're not going to have access to that space unless that new Apple ID gets added to your family account. So I think a new Apple ID for a new device becomes cumbersome and confusing.
Okay, I think I made my decision.
Right. I say KISS, right?
Yes, the KISS principle.
Exactly.
Keep it simple, stupid.
There you go.
I understand it. I have been kissed many times by many organizations. We have two Terry Stimsons.
I know.
They're both.
Hear me on this one?
Yeah.
Scott's working on my computer. I forgot to ask him if I could use it, so I'm now on Terry's computer.
Okay.
Now, I don't know why I'm on this other spot. It says me, and it says I don't have a microphone on.
Well, you're on now.
I should have a microphone both.
Oh, you've actually, yeah, they're right. You've got two different logins going on.
And one of them was muted, but now they're both
talking. Yeah, you're almost in stereo. I'm gonna shut one of these off.
The first one.
The first one. I don't know how to distinguish between a first and a last one, but I'm just gonna.
One beside Chester.
Well, I'm on Terry's computer, so I think the second one is the. Oh no!
No, you're good.
Yeah, we see you. You must be in another window doing the same thing.
Okay, let's see what happens when I go back to one of the old windows.
Because you're definitely online with us.
You're good. We can hear you. We can see you.
Good. I've got nothing to say.
Okay. And Paul didn't like the Apple talk, obviously. He just bailed on us.
I missed why somebody commented that his brain exploded.
He's back.
Oh, there. Paul moved his head, and it went into his beam thing, and it looked like his head had gone.
Oh, into his background, and it looked like his head was exploding.
So we're going to set up this new iPad, and then we'll be off to the races again.
Awesome. Your old iPad is so old compared to your new iPad, and it is... such a more powerful chip with more capacity that I think you could easily just migrate over to it. And it would hold everything that you're doing, your iCloud stuff. I think that it's going to very easily handle all your capacity. I don't think there's any special considerations that you have to keep in mind. I think it'll easily take up all the work of your old device and then leave lots of capacity for other stuff.
The reason I bought it in the first place was because the kids had FaceTime and we didn't. And so we mainly bought it for FaceTime, but I've used it for everything ever since, you know, the banking and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be good to have it all set up and everything, especially with the contacts and all those things to be brought over.
Are you adding a keyboard to it?
Don't know yet. The pricing was kind of interesting. Like, we've looked at Costco before, and they've always had the 128.
64.
They've had the 64. And this time they happened to have the 128. So we picked it up and, you know, wanted to make sure that that's what it was. But like I say, we haven't turned it on yet to see that that's actually what's in it. We've only read out on the box so far.
Gosh, and I didn't realize they had a 64. I thought they had a 32 and a 128.
That's what it was. It was 32 is what we'd always seen in Costco. And that's what they have on display is the 32. But the card that we picked up said 128. And
yeah, I think there's about $100 price difference.
And that's interesting because the price, including the AppleCare and our tax and a little $1.20 eco fee, $604 Canadian.
Which is about $500 American.
Oh, that's
even less than that. $600 Canadian.
Yeah, it should be less than that. It should be, in the United States, you would get it without cell service for $429.
$429, yeah.
Yeah, without cell service. If you wanted
without
Apple Care and without cell.
Yeah.
The hardware itself with their standard 1-year warranty, that would be $429, and then Apple Care would be on top of it.
So I was pricing the iPad Pro 256, 11-inch, with Apple Care, blah, 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 blah. So the iPad Pro itself, $809. The Apple Care was $116, and they'll give me $190 trade-in.
This is the new iPad Pro, this one in color.
Exactly.
You pick your color?
Silver.
I forgot about the trade-in, because when I was looking to buy it online, they were going to give me $50 or something trade-in on my old one. But this works out to be $480, the $604 Canadian. So for $480, we got the iPad, 8th generation, 128 gig, and Apple Care.
Right. How much was your Apple Care?
$39 or something.
Really? It's $116 for the Pro.
Yeah, the Pro is more. I've got the shopping list here from Apple Care.
Really?
Apple Care, Apple Pro, iPad Pro is $49 Canadian. All other iPads are $49.
Hmm.
That's interesting, but I bet what that is it's a different price because of the guarantee of equipment.
And I think this is a 2-year.
Oh, yeah?
Well, the iPhone screen only damage is $39, but all other damage is $129.
Mm-hmm.
As you're talking, I'm going through the Apple site. I've been trying to find something that's talking about the Apple Care price, but I haven't found it.
Oh, it says each service event. Oh, sorry, guys. Those are the fees.
I wonder if I have to go through a purchase to find the details about Apple Care. I just don't see it.
Well, I just purchased one, and I think it was $55 for the Apple Care. I'll check, sure.
Yeah, I would hope that Apple Care is a flat product. And what you're
$55.
Paying for, yeah, and what you're paying for is the how extended that is, how many years you're buying it.
I think it's 2 years for Apple Care on the iPad. I think it's 1 year on the iPhone.
Okay, guys, I'm reading the fine print now. What it says is that you have access to 24/7 priority tech support, additional hardware service options, and coverage for up to 2 incidents of accidental damage from handling every 12.
12 months. Each is subject to a service fee of $39. So the $39 is the service fee for up to two events in a 12-month period. And it looks like whatever I paid for AppleCare expires on July 29th, 23. So 2 years.
All right. You know what? I have found an article here I have not read, but it was written May 7th, 2021. And it is talking about AppleCare. They're trying to determine whether it's worth buying. You have a one-year limited warranty, 90 days of complimentary tech support. That's before you get AppleCare.
Yep. That was through Costco, though, the tech support.
Well, it's also through Apple because it's an Apple product.
Okay.
Like, you could go directly to Apple. They don't care where you bought it. Well, they care how old their product is. And they have the AppleCare Plus subscription plan in addition to the 2 years. Wait, maybe I jumped ahead of my... AppleCare Plus, an additional service and support plan you can purchase to protect your device. Priority access to Apple support, chat, phone. Cost of repairs or heavily reduces the fee of repair work. Two incidents of accidental damage coverage over 12 months. Express replacement services for iPhones, iPads, and Apple Watches. A version of AppleCare Plus also covers theft or loss. I'm afraid this is a complicated topic. You can extend it to 2 years. Oh, here we go. This is what I was looking at. AppleCare Plus costs for iPhones. So there's actually separate pricing for each one of the devices.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually an article that's talking about iPhone. Here it is, iPads. Here's the iPad AppleCare. And it looks like it's $69. It includes two incidents of accidental damage. Like, you dropped it. You can drop it twice every 12 months.
Yeah. And each time it'll cost you.
Yeah, $50.
Oh, $39 for the iPad.
Oh, here it says $49, but this is probably all American pricing. Maybe part of your...
The other way around then.
Yeah.
Now, I was reading AppleCare Plus, $103 for 12 months. Every iPad comes with 1 year of hardware repair coverage and up to 90 days of support. AppleCare Plus extends coverage and includes up to two instances. Each instance is $49. For iPad.
Okay, that's what I'm reading on this article. I'm going to put a link to this article in our chat. It goes through AppleCare, and the whole position of the article is asking the question, the existential question, is it worth it? And they get in details of how much it would cost to replace a screen, how much labor would be involved in it, and then they're comparing those pricing and considering how much it might cost under AppleCare. And then I imagine, I didn't get all the way through the article, but I imagine they're making some logical leap in how often you would assume to have this kind of damage. I'm also going to add it to our document. Is AppleCare worth it? A detailed guide with pricing from iGeeks blog. So there, iGeeks, I've given you a plug. There's at least 9 people that know to read your article.
I've just downloaded that article right now, and I'm reading it now.
All right.
Yeah, so AppleCare Plus or AppleCare are two different things.
Okay.
So mine is an AppleCare Plus, and I just opened it in the other window, so it'll be there when we're finished.
All right. What else do we got on today's non-agenda?
Well, I shared a technology thing there. It's just a short news article that was what they're doing for the medals in the Tokyo Olympics, which I've been watching every day and Bill most days. But anyways, they recycled cell phones and technology and made the medals out of it. And I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool. So there's always, this is reclaimed gold, and I'm assuming, I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to read the article. Millions of devices thrown away contain precious metals. Yeah, so they're getting gold and silver out of the electronics.
Uh-huh.
So there was a 2-year national effort in Japan to collect enough recycled material to produce about 5,000 bronze, silver, and gold medals. Well, that's interesting. 32 kilograms of gold, 3,493 kilograms kilograms of silver and 2,200 kilograms of bronze. That sounds like everybody gets a silver medal.
Well, they have to give them to the teams and things like that, you know. So and during the Olympic watching, Mexico, Canada, softball of the women's, Canada came out in front of Mexico. And just yesterday, our girls' soccer team beat the USA first time in 20 years. So we're going to the gold or silver. We beat Brazil last week. And so we're pretty excited. Our girls are doing great. We actually have one man that has a bronze now. So, yeah.
I have not been following the Olympic. I did see something on Twitter about a Mexican woman lifter that got bronze or silver. I don't know if you'd seen that. It's in Mexican Twitter. It's a big deal.
That's quite a feat for Canada, considering that they were wearing Levi's.
Yeah.
They're wearing flannel and Levi's. That's their...
And our beach volleyball girls are doing really well, too. In fact, both of our beach... We have two girls beach volleyball teams, and they may end up playing each other for gold and silver. So
these Olympics have become quite a political issue. Did you guys see? I saw some article about a volleyball team that was getting fined because they changed their outfits to be less revealing.
The beach volleyball.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't volleyball. It was.
No, it was.
I thought it was volleyball.
Handball. It wasn't volleyball. It was handball. And it was the Norwegian team, but they weren't in the Olympics. They were just playing in the European League or something.
Oh, that wasn't the Olympics. Okay.
I don't believe so, no. But they said, we don't got to wear these damn little bikinis. The men's team don't wear them, so we're not. We're wearing comfortable shorts.
Okay, well.
And they were fine.
Well, then the Russians have changed their gymnastics outfits for this. I do know that's the Olympics, right?
The Germans have changed the gymnastic outfits. They're wearing full leggings, full body suits, as opposed
unitards.
To up the crotch, you know, skimpy little bottoms, but they're wearing legs.
I didn't even know what they were talking about until I did some Google searches. I thought they looked much cooler this year than they have in the past.
Yeah.
They look like superheroes in their outfits now.
It's my understanding that in all of the original Olympics in Greece, they were all naked.
Naked. I was going to say, we're really moving away from tradition.
I don't think in the original Olympics, there were no women in there either. It was all men.
Correct.
Wait, was that originally broadcasted on NBC?
Anyway, just as a side note, I found it very interesting, and I didn't know it was possible, but the high jumpers, the Italian and one other high jumper, decided to share the gold medal. I didn't know you could do that.
Well, that's...
They tied in the overtime.
There's been a... They chose not to do that. They chose to go for the tie.
It was in high jumping, and if, like, they both jumped the same height, and if they wanted to determine who was gold and who was silver, it sounded like they had a choice of going higher, but each of them had risk of injury by going higher, so they decided amongst them that they would accept that this was the height and that we're going to share the gold.
Yep. So how did they cut that in half?
No, they gave them two medals. They each got their own gold.
Now they got a special saw out there that they can do that. They just slice it down.
The official saw.
The official Olympic medal saw. They do it on CrossFit. They don't cut it in half lengthwise.
It's
Friends Forever. They put a thing in it, and they have to get together to do speaking engagements where they hook together.
Right. And they, yeah.
Chester, you're trying to comment something. What was it you were trying to say?
I said it was very sportsmanlike and very gracious.
Yeah. It's a nice way to behave in the world we're living in right now. It's good to see that people can come to common ground and share things together instead of compete.
The same thing happened in one of the races where the person behind the other person caused him to fall and he fell on top of him. And they both hugged each other and ran together to cross the finish.
I got to say, I haven't paid any attention to the Olympics. The only jumping I've seen was that Irish gymnast that was proving that the beds can have sex on them. Did you guys see that video? Well, you didn't see that?
You really watch different channels than we do, Scott. I'm just going to say
I live on the internet. What can I say? No, there was, you know, the beds in the Olympic Village were made out of cardboard specifically to discourage people hooking up because of COVID. They're trying to keep the contestants from intermingling. And so they made these beds, these cardboard IKEA style beds. And the rumor was that you couldn't have sex on them. Well, there's this viral video of an Irish gymnast jumping up and down on the bed to prove to the world that it can handle some real abusive treatment. They weren't just going to fall apart. I think he was also looking for partners if they were interested. He also somebody went as far as to say, we're gymnasts and it has a 300-pound weight limit. That means three of us can be on this bed.
The other political or controversial, I guess it is, Tokyo's Olympics are dedicated to equality amongst the sexes. And so there have been a couple of new events. The one I watched was the swimming event, where it was a four relay. And each of the four people did a different swimming stroke, but there were two men and two women on it. And the British won that. And he picked up all three of his other contestants, you know, and they celebrated and everything. But we have one soccer player who is a transgender on the girls' team. And there's another one that is a weightlifter, and that's a man playing in the women's, because he transgendered. Yeah. And then the two women in the sprinting have tested for too much testosterone, and they have limited the activities that they're allowed to be in as women. They call them, what's the word? Androgynous. And yeah, and they would have to take medication to reduce their testosterone if they wanted to compete in the 400 meter. So hey, okay. Lots of interesting things.
Here's here's a picture of the cardboard bed. Where'd the video go? There's a video here somewhere.
Oh, there it is.
You had it at the bottom.
Go up.
Go up. You saw it?
Yeah. Right there.
But this is pictures from the video. I just had the video. Where did it go?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was down. Just about.
I don't think that's it. I don't think this is it. This is some other stuff that's going on. Hold on a second. Well, you know what? It's not popping out in the other browser. Let me do something different here. You are looking at different screen.
I've got to run. See y'all next week.
All right, Chester. We'll
see you
next week.
In today's episode of Fake News at the Olympic Games, the beds...
I fully expect the phone's going to ring and I'm going to have to leave. And Bill will have to tell you guys the story of our watching event this week.
Fake news. In today's episode of Fake News at the Olympic Games, the beds are meant to be anti-sex. They're made out of cardboard, yes, but apparently they're meant to break at any sudden movements. It's fake news. In today's
he's calling it fake news. He said they won't break. Where am I? Where are you guys? There we are. How come I can't hear you, Cheryl? Did I break something? I think I broke something. Can somebody say something? I can't hear anything.
Cheryl muted.
Oh, it is Cheryl. Okay. I thought maybe I broke something. I'm going to put a link to that just because it's funny in our in our chat. And you can listen to his audio, but what he says is that it's fake news. They can totally use those cardboard beds for sex.
I have a question on that.
Go ahead, Fred.
Did they issue different length beds for the basketball players and the...
I have no idea. This is all I pay attention to in the Olympics, is stuff like this. Anything that's gone viral.
Well, gymnasts tend to be small, so maybe they're just four gymnasts.
Yeah, there's a couple of wrestlers, though, that would break the 300-pound limit, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sumo wrestlers.
They probably gave them futons.
Cardboard
futon.
They raided the university's dormitorium and filled the rooms with futons on floors. Well, we got anything else for this meeting? We've got some other news. Anybody have any other topics?
Can we digress a second?
Certainly, Fred. Go ahead.
Okay, I was reading that once your AppleCare runs out, you can get it by the month. And
month by month,
you could get it month by month as long as you want, and you're still covered up under AppleCare.
Well, that's interesting. What does the month by month pricing come to?
Seems to me I remember something like $6 or $7 a month, but I don't remember whether that was for my computer or iPad or what.
I have not seen it listed for a monthly service. I've only ever seen it by year.
Well, I read it someplace when I bought my computer.
Oh, this one. I accidentally clicked something and everything.
Okay, well, Cheryl brought it up. I guess it's my story to tell. The other night I discovered on my laptop that Jungle Quest was, no, is that right, dear? Yes, Jungle Quest was available on Stramio.
Oh, okay.
So I told her that, and we sat down at the TV, and we were going to play it. So I said,
actually, Billy
did you
told
know,
me. Billy told me you, that I was supposed to use Stramio, and that he had seen it on his computer on Stramio. So I'm searching, and he tells me the movie is called River Quest. So I'm looking up River Quest.
Yes, River Quest.
And then I try River, and then I try Quest, and I try all kinds of things. So he goes back to his computer, and he goes, well, it's open on my computer. How come you can't get it to open on the TV? So we go back and forth. Finally, he says, oh, I guess it's called Jungle Cruise.
Jungle Cruise.
There was no river. There was no quest. You have to have the words right when you do a computer search.
They should have. They screwed up. They should have called it River Quest.
So Bill's doing a campaign to change the name of the movie. I was ready to search by, because I knew The Rock was in it, and you know, Johnson. I was going to search by all other things. But talk about that, you know, that's your basic thing you teach in computer, right? You have to spell things right, and you have to have the name right. You can't find a movie without it.
That's so, right.
And
yeah.
Anyway, my comment on the movie is it's a reasonable piece of fluff. It's not a very, I didn't find it a very good movie. I thought it was pretty much a copy of, you know, all of the Indiana Jones / whatever movies that come along. I didn't think it was a great movie, but it's a fun thing to watch.
What did you think of the CGI? Did I say that?
The CGI, the computer graphic effects. What did you think of?
Oh, they were fine.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, the people were supposedly dead for many, many years. I was really getting it was Disney magic fantasy type stuff that was kind of interesting and kind of funny. You know, I know I laughed a few times, but it does kind of lose something. You know, it takes place in the past, but they've got all of these different computerized, different creatures and effects. It looked very Walt Disney World kind of experience.
Yeah, I mean, you do.
Walt Disney. Jungle Cruise has been one of Walt Disney, or one of California Disneyland has it.
Yeah, you're aware that that is a ride, just like Pirates of the Caribbean was never a story. It was always a ride.
Right.
They just built a story around it. Johnny Depp has been in trouble with the Amber Heard thing and his divorce. And he's gone through a period of time where Disney has decided to at least postpone the next Pirates movie, a part of our cancel culture. And I think that they put together this movie, this Jungle Cruise with The Rock, because they're trying to find another franchise that would replace the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. A new actor, a new storyline. And it felt that way as we were watching the movie. I felt the same way you did, that it felt very much like Pirates of the Caribbean, just with The Rock, which is nowhere near as good an actor as Johnny Depp. And it was very fluffy. It was not a deep story. It felt like it came from a Disney ride. It was good. It had great special effects. It was fun to watch. The kids loved it. You're out of here, Judy. Judy's out of here, which is a signal that we're getting close to our ending time. But we also,
Scott, I got a couple quick questions.
Okay, and then after that, I got some recommendations. And I'm going to put the Jungle Cruise on there, too.
This will be quick.
Okay.
Can I make Stremio work on the new iPad?
Not the way you want it to work.
Yeah, like it works like it works on my little iPhone. I can see stuff, but I can't go out and grab a movie that I want.
No, the Stremio app in the Apple Store has been hobbled so that it meets the terms of service of Apple's apps.
Is it? What about Pirate Bay? Does it run on an iPad?
Well, again, the Pirate Bay is a website that hosts torrent.
Yes.
So you'll be able to look at that website, but then when you go to accessing a torrent, then you'll need an application that can read torrents. And I don't think there is a torrent application in the Apple Store. If there is, I'm not aware of it. But I don't think
I could see the torrent, but I cannot get anything to download it.
Yeah, that's right. You can see the link to the torrent. You could probably even look at the torrent file. But because it's an iPad or an iPhone, and because Apple's terms of service, I don't believe they have BitTorrent or QTorrent or MicroTorrent. I don't think they have any of those clients available in their apps. So
tell me about the Fire Stick. The Fire Stick we plug into HDMI, is that USB?
Yeah, that's how that works. You plug it into a monitor using HDMI, like your big screen TV.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember if it was just in the USB or if it was in the HDMI.
No, it's HDMI that you connect it to a TV set or a monitor that supports HDMI. The sound comes through the HDMI, so that's an important part of it. You'd be connecting to a fairly modern display with HDMI, and you'd expect the video and the sound to go through that one.
So if I wanted to watch a torrent movie, I'd have to download it on one of my Windows machines and then port it over to the Apple. It would play on the Apple if I did it that way, I presume.
Yeah, you could bring it over. You could do weird stuff, like you could stick it in your iCloud as a file, and then you could use the video player on your iPad to, like, I think there's a copy of VLC that's available for the iPad, I believe.
All right.
Don't quote me
on
it.
That's my questions.
Yeah. Bill, you know what you can do with the new iPad and the new operating system is you can put the movies on a USB stick, a flash drive, and you can plug it in, and it's able to read those now with the latest iOS.
What kind of a connection do you need into this? There's still only a Lightning connector. You'd have to have some special converter.
Yeah, you need an adapter for USB.
One of those OTGs?
Yeah, something like that. But it's going to be Lightning. It's going to be Lightning to USB.
Yes.
And there's also sticks. If you find yourself doing that kind of stuff often, there are Lightning adaptable sticks. Like you can go.
I've seen them. They have multiple adapters on them, and you can switch around. That's a big new thing.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. What's the adapter we have? The Lightning to HDMI?
No, that's wrong way around.
Yeah,
it goes Lightning to a USB or to a HDMI.
Well, you might find that you've got some Lightning dock that you've been using for HDMI that also has a USB on it, and so it might work for that job.
Anyway, I'll do some more. I'll see if I can find something. Cheryl's got to go. Bye, Cheryl.
Bye, Cheryl.
She's got a doctor's appointment.
That's right. She's getting.
I'm leaving too for the same reason. Bye.
Well, bye, Mom.
It's a sign of the times that COVID has changed. We now quite often do doctor's appointments on the phone.
That's
right.
And
I think that's going to continue.
I think you're right. I think that is going to continue. Just like masks are going to continue.
Yeah.
Nobody in the United States is ready to admit it, but we're going back to masks.
Oh, well, Alberta is really doing it. We outdid you guys. Yeah, like our premier 2 weeks ago announced that we're wide open, more or less. Like if you test positive in this province, you are no longer required to isolate. There's no requirement. You can test positive and just go walking around, just like no mask, no nothing.
What's that all about?
Yes. Well, yeah, exactly. That's what everybody in Alberta wants to know. What the hell is that all about? He's trying to out Trump Trump or the Republicans. He's just declared that we're done with it. The province is open, and by God damn, it's going to stay open. And he doesn't want to know what's going on. He doesn't want any testing. He doesn't want anything. He just wants it to run, and it's going to run. We are 70% vaccinated or better, but it's still that Delta variant isn't going to go.
You know, I just heard over the weekend that family friend, their brother in Wyomas, just died. He got sick with COVID last week. With less than a week, got sick, died, and he was fully vaccinated.
Yeah, well, they say that if you're fully vaccinated, the chance of getting sick enough to be hospitalized is 0.004, and the chances of dying from it is 0.0001, I believe. It's very, very small. It's like if you're vaccinated, it's pretty much like your chances are like the flu. You can die from the flu, but it's very rare.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. And then there's this experience. Like I'm two arm lengths away from somebody that just died fully vaccinated from COVID.
Fully vaccinated. Yeah, it happens. There's no guarantee it's not going to happen. But your odds are,
I think it's 1 in 1,000.
The odds are in your favor.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. And you've been following Florida. Florida's pushing forward. They've got the highest infection rate since the beginning of this now. Their daily infection rate is the highest it has ever been throughout the whole pandemic. And
they're still saying everything's fine.
The governor, is it worse than that? The governor's passed legislation that will withhold funds to public schools that enforce a mask mandate.
Yeah.
That's how ridiculous this got.
Well, there's a reason that he's second only in polling to Trump for the Republican presidential candidate. And he's gunning for it. That's what he's doing.
Well, and the CDC has come out to say that if you've gotten infected as a fully vaccinated person, your viral load is just as infectious as though you had no vaccination.
Exactly. You're not sick, physically sick, but you are carrying just as much.
Your ability to infect other people is just as high whether you've been vaccinated or not, if they've had a breakthrough infection.
Okay, I got to go. I got stuff in the oven.
All right, well, let's call this to an end. Paul, Fred, Bill?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that during a one-week time, I watched all of Yellowstone.
All right.
That tends to be binge butt.
And it wasn't binge butt. I found it not to be fluff.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Scott, you got 5 minutes. Your group is timed out.
I love how they've got a link right here to upgrade. They're like, you know, you don't have to keep getting disconnected. You could just pay us for more time.
Yeah, tech on, my friend.
All right, you guys, tech on. Until next week, good to see you. Good to see you, Fred. We'll talk again next week. Well, that was it. That was the San Carlos Computer Club. And I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, where if you have computer issues out there on the internet, I can reach out and help you remote. Check out internationalcs.net. If you want to reach me directly, it's scott@internationalcs.net. If you're interested in talking to me about Computer Club, it's scott@scclub.org. And if you're looking for remote help, the quick one is remote@internationalcs.net. Until next Tuesday at 10, Arizona Sonoran time. They don't recognize daylight. It's like mountain time, but they don't recognize 10 o'clock Tuesday. We meet online. I'll see you then. Till then, tech on.